Still coming back. I'm 99%. More healthy than our offensive line.
Greetings, loyal listeners. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. This fine Thursday evening, you have myself, James Radio, joined by my ever optimistic co-host, Rob Cast. How does it feel to be the first place Miami Dolphins going into week 12 of the season and legitimately being one of the best teams in the NFL?
Okay, so it feels great. But I'm gonna be honest, I thought it'd feel better. I'm nervous. I thought I could
just nervous,
be like,
yeah.
I'm strutting around, but that second half, took the foot off the gas. I should just love that victory we had, and I know we'll get into it, but that those like three straight sacks on Tua and Armstead out, and the way we looked in the second half, all of a sudden I'm like, gulp. I'm like, I should not feel like this. I want to feel confident.
Yep, I know what you mean. The game went almost exactly the way we said it would. They'd get out way in front, and then it would be garbage time.
There's
did not like seeing Tua playing when Armstead was out, but I mean, it was starting to get, I mean, not like it got close, but there was a point there in the fourth quarter where I was like, man, if they score again, you're gonna need to put Tua back in the game.
I get it. I think the plan was get one good drive in the second half and then take him out, and then like,
yeah.
So that's, I think, why, I mean, in my head, that's what I was like, all right, get one more drive, you know, seal this thing up, then take everybody out. And then it was more like, well, we got enough of a lead and he's getting his ass beat, take him out, which that's, I don't want to take him out for that because he's getting bent in half. Our hearts are in our mouths when they kept showing him bent in half like that. I'm like, no.
Yes, and for those of you that might not be familiar, there was one of the sacks, or was it a sack, or was it just a? I think it was a sack. One of the hits that Tua took. It just, you know, he always when he takes hits, it always looks bad. Like, it just because he's little and he bends the wrong way. Like, it just didn't look right.
That one,
so,
he bent all right.
He was okay. You know, he came back. Unscathed.
There
no injuries,
is one but, thing. And this is one of the things that made me a little nervous. One thing that didn't go according to script is I thought we would be able to run the ball. When we get into the games, I had Jeff Wilson over, and he did not, like, there was no, even without, yeah, not having Mostert, but Wilson should have had his, I expected like a 100-yard game from him, if, you know, without Mostert there. And like, we could not run the ball against a not very good, I mean, Texans team. So that's scary going into the stretch that we've got. So
I think the running game, at least from what I've noticed this season, it's very dependent on having the 1-2 punch. Like at the beginning of the year, we saw Mostert have some success, but we didn't see Mostert really, you know, start to look like himself until Wilson got here. Right. Like that's when, and granted the competition was a little weaker also. I think that probably has to do with it, but, you can kind of see it when they have each other to play off of, and then the defense they're off balance. There was no keeping them off balance. I thought maybe we'd see some Silvan Ahmed to be the speed guy, but he didn't. I don't know if he didn't even dress at all, but he didn't play or see the field. Gaskin came in the second half, but he's not, he's not as fast as Mostert. He's actually kind of a similar player to Jeff Wilson. So there was not a lot of, there wasn't the dynamic difference between the two running backs. The passing game was good, not as crisp as it had been. Waddle had a couple drops again in this game. It's kind of becoming a habit. I mean, he's still amazing.
He also had some monster catches, went up and got some. So
yeah, I'm not knocking it, but I'm just like, there were some there were some drops, and then it just didn't seem like they didn't really have to kind of, I guess, show up in the way that they had been showing up in previous weeks. This was, the defense was dominant.
I mean, this was a game never in doubt, and we're like kind of nitpicking it. So that one does show how like good this team's been this year, that we can actually be so negative after such a dominating performance is like we, you know, exactly. we expect. So yeah, that's a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a first world football problem there.
Well, I was going to skip the recap because it's not even really worth it. I mean, they got up 30-0 and then it was like a kind of bizarre second half, right? Like the defense was phenomenal in the first half. Kyle Allen, did look like he did not belong in the NFL, and he very well may not. But he, you know, he played a little bit better in the second half when, you know, the foot was clearly off the gas. But watching them dial up the pressure and the pressure they're able to generate now with only, you know, rushing 4 and 5 guys as opposed to needing to bring the house to get to the quarterback, like we kind of have gotten used to being seeing the last couple of seasons, just really refreshing. I thought Landon Roberts played a fantastic game. He was kind of all over the field. This is the type of game where he needed to be in. There were some plays in the second half I noticed where Roberts, like when they were starting to pass more and he had to get into coverage, and you kind of see why he's not on the field in those situations. He's not a coverage linebacker. He is a run stopping. He's an old school kind of middle linebacker thumper type of player. But when you get him out into coverage, he kind of gets.
But I mean, I think all the linebackers played well. Like Baker had a good game.
Ingram,
Van Ginkle had the pick. Duke Riley was in on some big hits. You know, so it was
Yeah, the front seven was phenomenal.
Yeah.
They held Damian Pierce well in check.
Did he get hurt because Agumbier or somebody else was getting all the carries in the second half?
I don't know if he got hurt. Game was just out of hand, and you don't want to have your best player in there in those situations. So I think that's probably why. But I don't know. Maybe he might have been hurt. I don't know.
Well, that was one of my props, I think, is I had the under. His under. Our run defense has been good, like especially if it's like that kind of bruising, like the, you know, the Chubbs and the.
It's usually the running quarterbacks that get us. So Xavien Howard, fumble recovery, return for a touchdown. Excellent to see. Van Ginkle had the interception that was almost a pick six that led to another touchdown. Jason Sanders didn't miss any kicks. Special teams looked pretty good for the most part. And the offense was a little underwhelming, if we're being honest, but I mean, it was 30-0. So, you know,
what's funny is like listening, if you listen to any of the fantasy, you know, if you're into fantasy or listen to the fantasy podcast, the Texans are terrible to play your quarterbacks against in fantasy, not because they're good, but because they're so bad that the quarterbacks don't have to do anything in the second half. Tua had a complete game at halftime. He had threw for almost, 302 or three? He had almost 300 yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns by halftime. That's a whole game.
Yeah, let me pull up his numbers. His numbers were good, and they, like I said, they would have been even better were it not for a few drops.
Now, they threw a lot. He threw 30 times in the first half, which is you know, a lot.
Well, yeah, because they were having no success running the ball.
True.
He was 22 of 36, so that's a much lower completion percentage than we're used to seeing, for 299 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. So the yardage was there. I think he hit a couple big plays to Waddle. And Sherfield had some catches as well. Hill also 5 for 85 receiving, or 6 for 85 for Hill. It was 5 for 85 for Waddle. River Craycraft, he showed up in a big way. 4 catches, 55 yards for him. Trent Sherfield 2 for 33. Cedric Wilson 2 for 26. And then you had a slew of guys with 1 catch, including Durham Smythe with a touchdown. 0 catches for Mike Gesicki. That was disappointing, but I guess it was
he had a target in that role.
So
he had a target.
A single target.
Smythe also had a target. How did he do?
Who's that?
Durham Smythe had 1 target. What did he do with it?
It was a touchdown. That was a very nice play the Tua made on that, by the way.
Sure was.
He spun out of pressure, kept the play alive.
It's right there. You could see it on my screen.
Love to see that. It was reminiscent of the touchdown he threw to River Craycraft in the Baltimore game in week 2, where he spun out of trouble and found Craycraft running wide open. So that was good to see. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I touched on it a little bit. Roberts, Phillips, both had big games. 7 and 6 tackles, 1 sack each. Chubb had a sack that was a strip sack. Ingram had a sack, five sacks for the defense on the day. Jerome Baker had a sack. Just love to see it. The defense was phenomenal. It was an inferior opponent, and they did exactly what they needed to do to an inferior opponent. Second half was mostly garbage time. We kind of alluded to it. Kyle Allen ended up having an okay day if you look at his stats.
That is not an okay day. He was 215 yards, one touchdown, and two picks. 26 of 39. That's not even good.
I mean, he wasn't Zach Wilson bad. Well, but yeah. Speaking of, really, really upset. I don't think we're gonna get to play Zach Wilson. Maybe ever again. That makes me sad.
Honestly, Mike, a lot of people are forgetting that Mike White did this last year. He came in, lit up the Bengals for like four touchdowns and like 400 yards, then came and got hurt and then threw like four picks in his next game. He got a little Cinderella in that guy. That glass slipper could be turning into a pumpkin or whatever things turn into.
We'll see. They're at Minnesota this week, so it's a pretty tough challenge for them. So we'll see how that one goes. Either way, I don't think we're going to get to see I think Zach Wilson has played his last down as a Jet, I believe. All right. Anything else you want to talk about in terms of the Miami Dolphins versus the Houston Texans? It was pretty much exactly like what we were thinking about. In fact, I said the final score would be 31-13. It was 30-15. So I was pretty close. Pretty close.
Well done.
Any final thoughts from you there, Rob?
No, I mean, we pretty much hit it. Again, I'm getting greedy, and all I can think about is the things that we didn't do as well as I thought we should do, and yet we destroyed the team. So.
Okay. Well, we do have some time before the break, so why don't we preview the Miami Dolphins at the San Francisco 49ers this Sunday, which is, I think, the game of the week, and there are a lot of good games. Potential Super Bowl preview, Rob. Potentially.
This is a good game. This is like the best week of football in a long. Even tonight, the Thursday night game is a good game.
It's compelling. Yeah, it's a compelling game. Even though they're teams we hate, but it's fun watching teams you hate play against.
Yeah, but they also it matters what happens in it. So we need to be watching. And
That it does.
Bengals Chiefs is a hell of a game also because of the conference.
I agree.
But Dolphins 49ers.
Lots of storylines. Master versus pupil. Mike McDaniel going head-to-head against Kyle Shanahan, his mentor.
I wouldn't call Shanahan his pupil. I know McDaniel's far superior in his master. You had it the other way around.
It reversed, yes. McDaniel is definitely Shanahan's pupil. He's been his understudy for 13 years, actually. not just the five in San Francisco. They actually started together in Houston where... I believe McDaniel was a quality control coach for Shanahan's wide receivers or offense. I think he might have been the running game coordinator, running backs coach, or something along those lines. Either way, was with him in Houston, was with him in Washington, was with him in Cleveland, and was with him in Atlanta before coming with him to San Francisco. So a very, very long time that they had worked together. And they have very complimentary things to say about each other. They both run similar styles of offense. They're both very, very good offensive coordinators and offensive minds. And they're leading very successful, hot football teams right now. 49ers having won four in a row. Miami Dolphins having won five in a row.
That's more
eight
than
and three
four.
At 7-4. We are 4-point underdogs on the road. I think we match up pretty well with them. The last time we came out here, I know they're different teams. The defense that we're running is pretty similar, though, and we had our way with those 49ers the last time.
That was the blitzing defense that they had no answers for, and we can't do that anymore. So it is a little different defensively.
Schematically, it's similar, but I know what you mean. Yeah, we're not going to be able to. We're not going to just have the zero blitzes the entire day. But if you remember, I mean, Jimmy was throwing up, picks, and they were we were playing a lot more zone in that game than we normally did. I remember thinking that it was odd, so it'll be interesting to see. I still think we match up well. The 49ers obviously are different. They have Christian McCaffrey, who might not play. Debo Samuel isn't the was not the player that he is now. Ayuk also is a very, very good player. You know, their offensive line is tremendous. They have an excellent running game. Jimmy Garoppolo, while he doesn't put the fear of God in you like a Patrick Mahomes, he's a very competent quarterback, and he runs that offense very well. So I'm looking forward to seeing our defense versus their offense.
Yeah, agreed. I want both sides, but our offense versus their defense is the matchup of the week. I mean, I heard a stat today that if you only count the snaps where Tua was the quarterback by whatever, like DVOA or EPA per whatever, like our offense is actually number one, better than the Chiefs. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, numbers are numbers, but I think just watching them, they look like the best offense in the NFL. They're a much different offense than the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a lot more, they spread it around a little bit more, though we do a pretty good job of that, but it's a different style
and Mahomes, Mahomes is incredible. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. So like, yeah, they can get, that makes up for stuff for lack of talent elsewhere.
The Chiefs did come out here and have their way with the 49ers. And by the way, I was kind of teeing that up for you, for our offense versus their defense, because I was talking about I was excited to see our defense go against their offense. But I know the marquee matchup is our offense versus their defense.
It's gotcha.
Number one defense it was funny. Versus when you number said one that, offense.
When you said it, so, I'm like, wait, which one did he say? Did he say our offense or our defense? I'm like, no,
I know it's late on
that.
The East Coast, and we don't drink nearly as much as we used to when we did these podcasts, actually. Yeah. And by not nearly enough or not nearly as much, I mean, we don't drink at all anymore
at all
on these podcasts.
Well, we used to do it in person. It was more fun.
Drunk with exhaustion is probably a better term for it. But yeah, watching our offense versus that defense is definitely that's the marquee matchup. I am very excited to see our defense versus their offense, though. Again, lots of storylines here. So their defense, led by Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, the new safety that they're not a new safety. He's been there for, I believe this is his second or third season.
He's the new hotness now.
Hufanga. He's a great player. Very, very fun to watch. And their secondary is much improved over the years. They'd had some issues back there. That was kind of their weak spot. But they have, they have a great front, great front seven, and a very good secondary. So it'll be a good test for this offense. I'm really, really excited to see it.
It's not just the front too. Is they are excellent with the guys you mentioned, especially Fred Warner and that safety. They're excellent in the middle, which is where this offense has been thriving. We've just been killing people in the middle. Now, does this mean, do we curveball and now you see the outside, the deep throws on the outside? Maybe. Who knows? I mean, it is watching the matchups here. This should be a chess match. This should be really fun. These guys know what they know each other. What they know, it's gonna be hard to trick them. So it's gonna be fun to see what they do. These guys know each other's systems.
I'm sure McDaniel has had this one earmarked for probably the entire season. So I think we are going to see some different things on offense, some things that we haven't seen. Maybe a Cedric Wilson trick play that actually works. Ooh. Maybe some creative ways to get Tyreek Hill the ball, like McDaniel did with Deebo Samuel last year. Maybe some more running plays designed for Tyreek Hill. Yeah, I'm really excited to see it. I'm sure he's got a very great game plan schemed up. None of that matters, though, if we can't block and protect Tua. So
and
we didn't really talk
story.
About the injury to Armstead. So Terron Armstead is the best offensive lineman that we have, as we all know.
In the
left
world.
Tackle. The offense looks completely different when he doesn't play. He does have a slightly torn pectoral muscle, is what I hear, a slight tear in it, not a full tear, so he's not going to require surgery. It sounds like there's a chance he could play on Sunday, and I think that would make all the difference in the world. I just hope he doesn't seriously injure himself by trying to go, and then we lose him for the rest of the season, because this is by far and away the toughest stretch that we've had. The beginning of the year was very hard. I was talking about that a lot. But this stretch of the season, I think, is going to be extremely, extremely difficult.
I don't think Armstead's going to play. Being realistic, we've got a really tough three-game stretch, as you just mentioned. Going 2-3 in during the stretch would be amazing. And the least important game is this game, just because it's
NFC.
NFC. So obviously the Bills is the most important win, and the Chargers would be the second most important win. So I don't see them rushing a guy like Armstead back unless he's like completely ready, you know, completely ready.
Well, he hasn't been completely healthy all year, so.
But I mean, re-injurable. The one thing that I was that I'm hoping we just didn't mention it, and I probably should have because I thought of it and then my brain stopped working. I'm hoping, because the little bit of complaining we were doing about last week's game, maybe a little bit of a look ahead, right? That's a classic trap game
we didn't fall into.
When you mentioned that we've had this earmarked, and I'm like, yeah, of course, this game, I think we've been looking ahead of this game, and maybe they overlooked the Texans and still destroyed them. This just didn't look as good as we had hoped. So, yes, the quick passing, we're going to have to scheme to a time and scheme the even quicker. I mean, he's the quickest to throw by far, but it has to be that and more, because we have not played a defensive line like this since Buffalo. And then I don't think they were this, and they're not this good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at the beginning of the season, the Patriots, the Ravens and the Bills, those are three very good defenses. And we held up pretty well in those
fronts,
games.
Cause the Ravens had no secondary that game, but those are good fronts. Yes.
Yeah. And the Jets, also had a good front. Yeah. And that was against our B and C team on offense. So, yeah, I mean, not thrilled to see Tua go back there without Armstead. I am excited for the game, and who knows, we don't know if Armstead's playing or not. It looks doubtful for Austin Jackson. He re-injured his ankle. He was not having a very good game against the Texans, even when he was playing. I think Brandon Shell has played better than him in the time that we've seen. I know Austin is not healthy, so we're hoping that he, you know, is able to get healthy and come back. Would really like to see him thrive, and develop under this coaching staff. So, all of those things said, I believe we will find a way to get it done. I do believe we are the better team. We are the better quarterback. I like our offense more than their offense. And I think our defense is going to show up with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder going to play the number one ranked defense in the NFL. And I think they're going to want to show up. So I'm going to say Miami Dolphins 27, San Francisco 49ers 24.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. You forgot something very important. We also have the better coach. Yeah, that's right. I said it, and I believe it. I'm not even optimisting there. I believe it.
He is a very good coach. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited about him.
So,
got to give him some time, though.
When you picked your score, I laughed to myself, because all week I've been thinking about this game like we all have in the score. And I landed on 27-24, and honestly, I couldn't decide if we were winning 27-24 or losing 27-24, because this is a tough game. But as it marinated, the optimist kind of grows. It's like a mold, and the optimism grows, and the logic and sound thinking goes out the window, and fanboy comes out. So I've decided we were on the higher end and that we would win. No surprise. I predicted a win all season, and I don't foresee that changing, because we probably never lose again in my lifetime, or at least while Tua is the quarterback. But I bumped us up. 31-21. Dolphins win 31-21.
Love it. I hope you're right. That would make it a little bit easier for me on Sunday. Okay, we are a little bit over time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a stroll over to the degenerate side of things. We'll also handle Pick'em and probably get a little fantasy camp in there too. So please stay tuned. And we're back. So why don't we take a stroll over to the degenerate side of things? Normally we tackle this when we're going over our predictions for the game, but I know we kind of covered that in the first half of the show. So let's take a look at some of the prop bets. First, why don't you tell everybody what happened in last week's version of the degenerate side of things?
I had a good week, but you, my friend, you crushed it. 3 for 3. You had.
Nice.
Look at that. Kyle Allen, under 1.5 touchdowns. Yes, he had one. Damian Pierce, receiving yards, under 14.5. He had 8. And Waddle over 67.5. He had the 85, as we mentioned. So you crushed yours. I did nice. I had Allen over 0, over half interception, and he threw 2, which I think I even predicted two more than the just not just the one. I had Damian Pierce under 64 and a half rushing yards, and he had eight. So that actually eight rushing, eight receiving, or did I mess that up? Either way, he hardly did anything. The one that I missed, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, I thought Jeff Wilson was going to have a big game. I had him at over 80 and a half rushing yards, and he had 39. He didn't even hit half. So that was my big whiff, was the I thought we were going to run all over him, and we did not. So that's where we ended up.
Nice. Well, thanks for recapping it. It's good to see. I think I'm getting a hang of this game. Where are we at for the year now? I think I've had a couple weeks in a row where I've hit all three of mine.
So weeks-wise, you are killing me. You've won 7 weeks to my 4, but in actual bets, you are up 23 to 22. So we're very close. We're very close on the totals.
All right.
You might have to put real money on this next year. We're killing it.
Doing pretty well. So I saw a couple that I liked this week. There's one I know that we both like, so I'll cover that one first. So Trent Sherfield, they have his receiving yardage at 22 and a half. This is the first week that he's shown up on this. I think they're starting to realize he is the legit number three wide receiver on this team. So they have him at 22 and a half yards. I think he's going to go over. He is a former 49er. I think he's going to want to have a big game. I'm sure everybody wants to have a big game, but there's some stuff there. So I think that plays into it. And the fact that he's been well over 20 yards the last month. So I think he'll be over 22 and a half.
I think everyone's a former 49er. I don't think you can actually count that.
Fair enough. The next one I liked was Jimmy Garoppolo's passing yards. They have him at 26 and a half. Sorry, 26 and a half. 246 and a half, not 26 and a half. 246 and a half passing yards. I'm going to take the under on that. I don't think he gets that many passing yards on this defense, as I was alluding to. I think we do have a very good game on defense on Sunday. And my last one is, I noticed they took Tua's passing touchdowns down to 1.5 again. I was very, very tempted to take the over there. That's been like taking candy from a baby for me all year, but I'm going to go to his yardage. They have his yardage at 272 and a half. And I don't think it's sustainable that he's going to be 300 yards every single game. This is the best defense in the NFL, but I do think we're going to be very pass heavy in this game. And I think he's going to be over 272 and a half yards. So I'm going to take the over.
Speaking of pass heavy, did you watch the McDaniel mic'd up? Segment.
some of it, not the entirety.
There was the one where he's just like, I don't, people are crazy. I'm going to throw every damn down. I don't care what if people think I'm crazy.
there you go.
Yeah.
There
so, you go. So as you mentioned, I also took the Sherfield over that jumped out at me 22 and a half. He's usually, 30, 40 yards seems to be what he gets. I was more than tempted by the Tua over 1.5 touchdowns. I don't think we're going to be able to run even when we get in close. They usually like to run it. I think we're going to be forced to throw it. I think two touchdowns, three touchdowns, five touchdowns, that's
hopefully
what we're gonna...
take five.
The other piece I'm taking here, I usually go Dolphin centric, like pro Dolphin props. I try to keep their optimist alive and everything. But this one's not. We got killed by Aiken. George Aikens, whatever, the tight end. Tight ends have been feasting on us. The defense is not, I don't know if it's play action. We're a very aggressive defense. That's why the running quarterbacks, I think, give us trouble, because we overshoot some gaps. Whatever it is, tight ends thrive. Kittle's is at 41.5. 41 and a half yards is his over. I'm taking the over on Kittle's yards. I think we see 60 to 80 yards from Kittle. Hopefully we keep him out of the end zone.
I like everything you said. Obviously don't want to see the Kittle over, but I get the bet. If Roberts is out there, that might be a matchup they try and exploit. I would think with a receiving threat like him, Eric Rowe would be shadowing him, because Rowe normally covers the tight ends. We shall see.
And does it well.
I know Shanahan likes to scheme and get his guys matched up. He likes to create mismatches.
And boys and girls, when you watch this game, when we are on defense, watch Kittle when he's blocking. This is the reason why the Dolphins, that's the difference between him and Gesicki. Gesicki is a great receiver, but the what works in this style of defense is the blocking, because it whether style you're running offense. Or pass, yeah, sorry, whether you're running or passing, it there's no liability. He's a strength in both sides, and that's what that's why we maybe we don't see as much from Gesicki, because he's as much. I think he's done well trying to be a blocker and doing new stuff. That's what this offense really needs.
Yes, he's a phenomenal talent. All right, let's move over to Pick'em, where I also happened to be perfect last week.
Oh, crushed me. This kind of perfect hurts more, because we could both be perfect in degenerate side, but we cannot both be perfect in the Pick'em, because we're head-to-head. And the by the way, Bucks, they won that. How did they lose that game? They had that 7-point lead forever. In theory, I won that game, because you only the worst coach in the world could lose that game, and he's in Denver, so I don't know how the hell that happened.
Yes, Bowles is not the worst coach in the world.
He does some bad things. I like Bowles. I've always liked Bowles since he was here. And yeah. I think he's done it. I mean, him and Leftwich was like a head coaching candidate. I mean, I'm in the Tampa Bay area, so I hear it more than most folks. I mean, they've been terrible. Like, because Brady, it's not like Brady looks bad. It's not like he can't throw deep or something. It's like he still looks like he's, I don't get it.
No, the play calling's the
play
off.
Play calling's
just
terrible.
Just off. They're just off. So I was right there. I had the Falcons. You had the Falcons plus four. That did not happen.
It was close. That was closer. I forgot. Oh, that was the Commanders, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then you had the Titans plus 1.5, and the Bengals beat them by 4. So
yeah, they were close.
Clean sweep for Radio and Pick'em.
Boo. And this isn't even close. You're destroying me this in Pick'em. It's like,
oh, was that 29-11? 29-13.
20-13. I don't know why it's that weird kind of. It's 20-13, but 8 weeks to three.
Oh, 20-13, yeah. 8 weeks to three, yeah. All right. So may I interest you in some Denver Broncos getting 8.5 points going into Baltimore, who just lost to the Jaguars? I think these Broncos are frisky, Rob. They seem like they're putting it together. I mean, they were very close to beating the Panthers last week. Oh, wait, no, they weren't. But you know. The Ravens lost to the Jaguars. My dog wants you to pick the Broncos.
I am taking the Broncos only because this line is 8.5. I don't think the Ravens can beat anybody by 8.5. I think they can beat anybody, but I don't think they can beat anybody by 8.5. The Panthers, the Jaguars, they just the offense is missing a receiver. Lamar doesn't have enough pieces. They're weird, and they're blowing the games. I mean, I think all of their losses, they've had like a 75% win probability or better. Like in ours, it was like 90. So
this game's gonna be like 13-3 or 16-6.
Exactly, it's the 8.5. Yeah. The 8.5, and Broncos defense is the only reason. Can definitely see Wilson throwing one the other way, and this is and I lose this.
Give me the Ravens. Cool. The second game of the week, not the Dolphins. Kansas City Chiefs going into Cincinnati, favored by 1.5. You love the Chiefs. You know you love the Chiefs.
No. Why I get the Chiefs? Why did I write the Bengals here?
I don't know. I'm looking at the screen. I don't know why you wrote that. I know who you like, Rob. You like the Chiefs. -1.5.
I like is to put my stink on it, because I'm terrible at Pick'em. So I'm picking the Chiefs so that they can lose and we can have
potentially
have the number
if we
one.
Win in San Francisco.
Not
can
potentially.
Be.
We will then after we win in San Francisco, we will be sitting in the number one seed and a bye.
That would be amazing.
And home field advantage.
I hope that's how it plays out. Man, it's been so long since anything like that has gone our way. I hope this is our year. But I do like, regardless of all of that stuff, I actually like the Bengals in this game. They're playing very well. They get Joe Mixon back. They played very well on the road in Tennessee.
Chase is not back. Is that correct, or is he playing?
I don't know if Chase is coming back, but I think with Boyd and Higgins, they still have plenty of weapons on the offensive side of the ball, and their defense is
now that I say, I think Chase is probably going to play, but be limited is what I think, is he might be on a snap count.
And
I'm a stick.
So for those of you, so we're doing this podcast 8 minutes before kickoff of Thursday Night Football. And Rob, I know you really, really love the New England Patriots getting 4 points at home. So
I don't. I love putting my stink on them.
I see what you're doing. You're picking to lose. That's why you're so bad at this game.
I am so bad at it that I do think that the Bills. By the way, the Bills. There was talk of Von Miller coming back, and then they just put him in IR. So he's going to be out for our game. I mean, sucks for injury, but we won't have to face him. And their defense is completely different without Von Miller, because he's been amazing. So sucks. We know we don't root for injury because, you know, we hate when it happens to us, but it
is benefit. And we're not scumbags.
Yeah, and we're not scumbags, exactly. But that is happening. I don't know. Whether it's the elbow, whatever it is, the Bills haven't looked like the Bills. And they do this. They did this last year. They had this stretch in the middle where they looked normal. And Belichick, I mean, even though he's the worst coach, the worst coach in the AFC East, he's still a pretty damn good coach. So, I'll take the Pats plus +4.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I will take the Bills. I think they have no problem beating the Patriots tonight. Cool. All right. That does it for Pick'em. Why don't we handle our favorite part of the show? Hit it, Rob.
Fantasy Camp.
Woo! So for those of you that are not familiar, Miami Dolphins Fantasy Camp is a game where Rob and I draft fantasy football teams comprised entirely of Miami Dolphins skill players. And now we've added some new wrinkles where we're picking multiple defensive players, or we have the option to pick defensive players as well.
Duperflex.
This is the Duperflex, where it can be an offense or a defensive player. So, it's an awesome game. It's fun. It was really, really hard when the Dolphins were terrible. This year's been a lot of fun. It's been very exciting. Rob, why don't you recap what happened last week? I know you had, going into last week, you were on a 2-game winning streak, but that happened.
No, you got the 3-way sweep in our games. You destroyed me here. I had the first pick, and the first 3 picks are pretty chalk. They've been the same all season, except Mostert got swapped for Wilson. But it's, Hill, I go Hill, you went Waddle Wilson. Then Sherfield is usually the next guy. And then I made the mistake of taking Gesicki because he's garbage. I mean, he just hasn't been involved.
Neither one of us hit on any of the offensive players, really.
Yeah, you actually took Ahmed before I took Gaskin. But on defense, Robertson, Chubb, you killed it on those. I picked Phillips. I only went with the one defensive player. I put Gaskin thinking we were going to run all over them and he'd have the fourth quarter and maybe a touchdown. I was wrong.
He did have the fourth quarter.
He had the fourth quarter and the longest run of the day, and he had 17 yards total rushing and 1 catch for 4. So, yeah, you crushed me. It was 43-27. The Waddle and Hill were within 1 catch of each other, so with one point. But Wilson did have the touchdown. And then on defense, you got 21 points between the two guys. You had the 2 sacks, the forced fumble, 9 tackles. That's a really good day. Phillips had a great day. He had 6 tackles and a sack also, but he was my second best player behind Hill, and that's not going to get it done.
Yep. All right. Well, this week I get to pick first, so go ahead and give me Tyreek Hill.
Who? All right. I will keep Chalk, Waddle, and Jeff Wilson.
Not Cedric Wilson?
Not Cedric. Although he's getting a little more involved.
Yeah, he would have gotten us some points. He definitely would have got you more points than Gesicki and me more points than Ahmed last week. So, all right. So Waddle and Wilson for you. I will go Mostert and Trent Sherfield.
Nice. That is, that is obvious to do that. I'm actually changing. I'm changing right now.
You're going to go with Craycraft over Gesicki?
I'm doing Craycraft over Gesicki because why the hell not? I had picked Gesicki when we do this offline. I'm switching it to Craycraft. And because of the tackles, Landon Roberts has been just killing it in this, as having that floor of like 8 to 10 points, and had the sack, you know, which is even better. So I'm taking him ahead of all of the better defenders, the flashier defenders. I want that floor of getting, you know, at least 7 points in tackles.
All right. Yeah, like Landon Roberts should be on the field a lot, because the 49ers are a very run-heavy team, so should see a lot of him.
Because I changed my mind, Gesicki is available if you want to put him in your duper
flex. I actually
flex.
Thought about it. I'm not going to put Gesicki in my duper flex, so this will be the first, I believe this is the first week that Gesicki has not been drafted in fantasy camp in time.
He's going to go off. Put him in your DFS.
I hope so.
Lineups.
I hope this is what it. This is what it takes.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with my picks. Then I'm going to go with Bradley Chubb and Xavien Howard. I think he gets at least one on Jimmy this week.
Nice. And I was really tempted to take Phillips, but they do have a good offensive line. I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go back to Holland. X and Holland were the guys last year. Those were the only defenders, you know, we would pick, because they were between the X picking it off and Holland being able to sack and get picks and tackles. Let's get back to it.
Yeah. So Jimmy hasn't thrown a lot of picks this year. I believe he only has 4 on the year. But one of the, I know that McDaniel knows him well, and I know he doesn't really get his hands on the defense too much. But he should, I'm sure he's going to have some conversations with the secondary this week about the types of things that Jimmy does and does not do well. So, I think we're gonna get at least one pick of Jimmy.
I like it. I'm here for it.
All right. I do have a little bit of a time stop, so I don't have a ton of time for the nonsense today, Rob. But anything interesting that you're watching on the television or any other cool kind of pop culture media stuff that you're into right now?
No, I have not been. I've sort of not been taking care of anything. I'm very much trying to get the lady up to watch Andor. I very much need to get that. I know it's.
I need to watch the last episode. I still have not done that yet.
So look at that. That's what I'm trying to get done.
Cool. I won the Super Bowl in Madden last night. Miami
nice.
Dolphins defeated the San Francisco 49ers. So,
wow.
Hopefully a foretelling of things to come.
I'm in 2034 and I'm just playing forever. All right, let's go.
Go Dolphins.